drink. Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 66 of Feel Good Friday. That's right, we made it to episode 66. Get your kicks on Route 66. Which, wow, sorry, that's just the first thing I thought of when I said 66 out loud. You know, sometimes you don't really think about things. You just hope for the best. And that's what I was doing. I said 66 and my mind was like, what kind of connection can you make now? The other day it was Nintendo 64. This was episode 64. My mind went to Nintendo 64. Today on episode 66, it went to Route 66, which is a real thing. It's not just a song. The original song, Get Your Kicks on Route 66 by Nat King Cole. John Mayer did a cover of it for the 2006 smash hit Pixar movie Cars, one of Finn's favorites. And I'll be honest, that's what came to mind when I said 66. So I wanted to sing it, and then I realized I only knew one line from it. So I was like, fuck, I gotta nail this line. And I didn't. I think, if anything, I probably fucked up your ears a little bit, and I apologize for that. But what can I say? I'm inspired, because we got a great interview today with Brian Durbin, lead singer, guitarist of Hairbangers Ball. He's a songwriter and a really, really cool guy. And appreciate him taking the time to sit down and share some stories, share some opinions. And it's just an awesome interview. So check it out. And if you have the chance to check out Hairbangers Ball, do that too, because they're fucking awesome. Great fucking time. You go to their shows, you're going to have fun. You don't even have to be the biggest 80s rock fan. Like, it's just a great environment to be in. Their positivity is contagious. The fun is contagious. And I absolutely love going to their shows. They got one we were talking about on June 1st in Frankfurt that I might hit up, because that's close enough to me. And yeah, no, definitely check out Hairbangers Ball if you get the chance. Now, we touch on this in the interview, but I wanted to bring it up because a few episodes back, I talked about the ends of some eras. Tom Brady retired. Then Ozzy Osbourne retired. Then Kiss announced their farewell tour. And I thought that was going to be it, guys. I really thought that was going to be it. But you know what happened the other day? Aerosmith announced their farewell tour. Aerosmith, the Peace Out Tour, which, by the way, great fucking name. The Peace Out Tour, and they had a great commercial for it. They had a lot of celebrity cameos. Eminem was in it. Bill Burr, Slash was in it. Kelly Clarkson, some really hot tattooed chick with a red bandana. Terry Crews, didn't know he was an Aerosmith fan. Maybe he isn't. Maybe they were just like, he's a big name. Get him in there. He's kind of funny. And then the whole thing is like, everyone's looking at their phones or the TVs or listening to the radio. And it's like, breaking news, the biggest, you know, and they make it this big dramatic thing. And it kind of is. I mean, Aerosmith has been doing this for decades and decades, just rocking and rolling all over the world, putting out some of the biggest hits of all time. And they were actually my first concert. My cousin Ronnie took me to go see them. Joan Jett opened up. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. And it was fucking amazing. It increased my love for music even more. Which I've always loved music growing up. My parents made sure of that. My dad got me into the more 80s rock and then the Led Zeppelin and all that. And then my mom got me into more Queen, Bruce Springsteen, and the Beatles and whatnot. So really, it's always been a part of my upbringing, and Aerosmith has been a part of that upbringing. I got their greatest hits when I was in my single digits of years on this earth, and I think I got to go to this concert. It's them, and then Kiss has their farewell, so it's like these bands that I'll probably never get to see again, and it's almost like Aerosmith is stealing the thunder from Kiss, but to be fair, Kiss has done the farewell tour before. I'm honestly not sure if Aerosmith has. Nothing comes to mind. Like, I knew Kiss had done the farewell tour before, just like Motley Crue. These guys keep coming back. So that's why I think this Aerosmith one is definitely legit. I think the Kiss one is too. They're all getting up there. Like, at some point, you can't rock and roll all night and party every day. I think once you're in your 60s, you got to find some time for sleep. And I think Kiss is hit that era. And that's a sad thing to say because, you know, I grew up listening to these guys and they're some of my heroes. And, you know, now they're taking Cialis and whatnot. So definitely going to try to make it to the Aerosmith one. They got the Black Crowes opening up for them. And yeah, it should be a great show. Again, I love the name, the Peace Out Tour. I don't even know if it's the Peace Out Farewell Tour or just the Peace Out Tour. But it's a great name. I'm confident they're probably going to close with Dream On. I don't think they would close with I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. I think they would close with Dream On. That makes sense, right? I'm just predicting. I'm taking bets. Close with Dream On. Open with Back in the Saddle? Or open with Sweet Emotion? One of those? Again, not sure. I just think Dream On is such an epic song to close to. And Steven Tyler in that song, I mean, I know, you know, you go through the albums, you're going to hear songs that you don't normally hear, and you'll be like, oh, that, but like, that's one of their hits that he really shows, like, how great his voice is. And he could hit every, you know, he could do the smooth stuff, and then he could do the screeching, like the loud rock and roll shit, and he really gets both ends of the spectrum right there, and it's a great, it's a beautiful song, and it was used in the trailer for Argo, the Ben Affleck movie, and it was just perfect. Like, it's so intense. It can be so intense, and it's just an experience. So I am going to see if I can go to that. So you got that. You got Kiss. You got the ZZ Top and Lynyrd Skynyrd show in August. And then Ted Nugent is coming back to Ridgefest. The Nuge is coming back to Ridgefest for an unprecedented fourth time, Uncle Ted, probably going to say some outlandish shit when he's on stage. Not sure. I'm going to have my phone out because I would love to be the guy that goes viral because he recorded Ted Nugent, you know, talking about snowflakes or something like that. Do I agree with it? No, but would I post it and definitely reap the benefits of it? Yeah, you bet your ass I would. Cause he's up there too. He's another one. I'm surprised he's still doing shows. Like, you're probably good, right? Maybe. I don't know. But I feel like you could probably enjoy your retirement, but no, he keeps rocking, man. That's what I love about these rock and roll guys. They keep rocking. They want to rock until they're dead. They want to keep rocking. Like, you know, I'm sure it broke Ozzy Osbourne's heart to have to retire from touring. Cause that's all he's done for the past, I don't know how many decades he's been doing it, you know, since the 60s with Sabbath. Like, this is all he's known. He's lived life on the road and in the air, technically, if you're on a plane, or because he got real high. That was a drug joke, not a good one either, so I apologize. But yeah, no, some more ends of eras, the Aerosmith era, the Aerosmith, if you will. Again, very dumb. Don't know why I said that. They announced their farewell tour, and that is another era that's coming to an end. It's a sad day for rock and roll fans because I don't know what the future holds for rock and roll. We might just have to hold on to the memories. We'll see. We'll see. We'll get into it with Brian Durbin. Yeah, so that's what's going to be on today. It's a lot of talk about that. We got to talk about the musical, the writing process, the songwriting process, and just all sorts of stuff. It's a great interview. Check it out. Very interesting. So yeah, that's what's in store for today. Hope you enjoy. And if you don't, go fuck yourself, or I'm sorry, but mostly go fuck yourself. So there it is. Taking a quick break, play that intro music. And then we got Brian Durbin. Fucking rock and roll, baby. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Feel Good Friday. I'm here with a very special guest, Brian Durbin, singer, songwriter, guitarist, just a badass dude. Thank you for being on, Brian. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, man. Looking forward to this. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. I know I appreciate it even more because I know you guys got a busy schedule. You're doing shows every weekend, and when I think of like the weather getting warmer, it starts to feel like concert season. You know what I mean?
That it does.
Yeah.
That it does.
So you guys got a lot of shows coming up. I know last weekend you were in Illinois, but then went to Wisconsin the next night, and now you're doing a couple more Illinois shows this coming weekend, right?
Yeah, we're in Libertyville on Friday at Impact Fuel Room,
Okay.
formerly known as Austin's.
Gotcha.
And then on Saturday, we're at Mayfest in Chicago, which we're really looking forward to. And we're playing with Two Hype Crew, so
Hell
it's going
yeah.
to be fun. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Always a good time at Mayfest.
Are there any during the summer, like are there any shows you're circling it on the calendar, you're like, this one is the one, or is it just that's every show?
Mayfest is definitely one of those ones. Retro on Roscoe. You're probably going to get me in trouble here now because I'm probably going to forget a few important ones.
No,
But
you're good. You got a
I
lot, man.
like
It's a lot to remember.
the Harley-Davidson Fest in Wisconsin is awesome that they do in Oconomowoc.
Okay.
We're playing the Wisconsin State Fair this year, which we were booked as a backup to Skid Row, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to remember some of the other ones. Shanahan Fest is always a blast. Mallow Run Winery in Bargersville, Indiana. We actually call it Bangersville, Indiana, for that night.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of really great ones. So we're very fortunate, and yeah, it's the best time of year to be a hairbanger for
And
sure.
it's no surprise that you have so many shows lined up. You guys always put on a hell of a show. I see the posts all the time with you guys tagged in it saying, Hairbangers Ball never disappoints. And it's so true. I went to Northern Illinois, and you guys came up there one time. And it was one of my favorite nights of 3 years at Northern Illinois. That night stands out because you guys
Oh,
just
right on. What
absolutely
venue
killed
was
it.
it?
What's that?
What venue was it at
It
Northern
was the
Illinois?
bar Fatty's. They had just
Fatty's?
opened
Okay,
like their venue room, I guess you would call it, with the stage.
yeah.
So it
We
was.
haven't played there in a long time. Are they still, do you know if they're still doing bands over there?
I mean, I would assume. I don't think they would take that away because at least when it opened, it was a huge hit. People would go there like. And then go hang out in that back room because,
Okay.
yeah, it was always something. So, but yeah, that night definitely stands out. I got all my buddies. Growing up, I had a lot of my friends were all like country and R&B fans and all that. My dad got me into like the Van Halen and Led Zeppelin and all that. So I kind of got them to the show, and they all had a great time too because you guys just. The energy, obviously, the straight up shredding, like it's everything, and it's a really cool show.
Right on, man.
Yeah. So
Thank you.
let's talk about your origin story as it pertains to the band. When did you become a part of Hairbangers Ball?
Let's see, it was late, I think it was November 2015 when I started auditioning for the band.
Okay.
And I had actually opened for Hairbangers before in a previous band a couple times. So I was kind of on their radar. I played a show at Empty Barrels with that band. It was my original band, Love Blast, but we were basically what was going on is like the goal of that band was to always be like a touring rock and roll band, like all of our heroes and stuff that played original music. The problem was the only thing I've ever made a decent living off of is music. So I was teaching guitar lessons at the time. I was playing in a couple other random cover bands that basically played the Hairbangers Ball set list in addition to my original band. And we were getting to the point where we were starting to go on actual like national tours and stuff. And the thing that a lot of people don't understand about that is opening bands on those tours, either their record label, someone with a lot of money is paying for them to be on those opening slots. Whereas in these circumstances, I was funding everything for that band with the money that I was making in the cover bands I was playing in. And it just got to be too, I was destroying myself financially, basically. I was almost 30. I was still living at home. I had no credit or anything like that. And I started turning my original band into a cover band at the time to start financing our tours and stuff. And it just it wasn't working out because the cover songs that made sense for that band to play were 80s hair metal cover songs,
right.
And there's already one Hairbangers Ball in Chicago,
right?
And you're just not going to topple the giant,
yep.
You know, and much as many people have tried, including myself, yeah, so I played a really bad club show one night where I just got absolutely hammered. It was my birthday.
Okay.
And it was at Empty Barrels in Schaumburg. And I really put on a stinker that night, but I made a whole lot of noise. And then when Hairbangers Ball were looking for lead singers, they reached out to a couple of the bartenders at Empty Barrels who happen to have my phone number.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, then I got contacted for auditions, and now here I am. I started out, the first month I was in the band, I was playing guitar.
Okay.
And then, the whole time the plan was for me to become the lead singer of the band.
Yeah.
And then in February, a month later, I became the lead singer of the band, and I still feel like the new guy, but after 7 years, I'm actually the longest tenured lead singer of Hairbangers Ball.
Hell so, yeah.
Kind of weird, yeah.
That's awesome, man. So you've been doing it for a while. Have you always been into the 80s rock, the 80s hair metal and all that? Like,
yeah, to a fault, to a fault. Everything I do, even when I'm trying to not make it be 80s, everyone calls me that 80s guy, so.
Yeah,
It's who I am.
It's been a rough year, or not a rough year, but I guess a rough few months, because you got the Kiss farewell tour, Aerosmith, like your shirt, you just announced their peace out tour. Ozzy said he's retiring from touring. It's a rough time for rock and roll right now. How are you coping with this?
Not well, honestly. Not well. It's a real bummer to think that, you know, like I've got a ticket to the last Kiss concert mm-hmm. in Madison Square Garden in New York City that I'm really excited for.
Okay.
I've got a ticket for the Aerosmith farewell tour, so I'm paying my respects.
Yeah.
To you know, these legends that I spent, you know, I based my entire life, right or wrong, I based my entire life around. So, yeah. It's tough, and there's not really anyone there that I'm seeing personally that, you know, is like, you know, that these bands could pass the torch to.
Right.
And I'm not even saying like, oh, yeah, so that's why Hairbangers Ball is going to be like taking over there. But I will say it is in my mind every time we play now that like this is it, and like there is a little bit of a responsibility. At least that's what keeps me motivated to like go on stage. Is like I want to make people have the feeling that I felt at all those great concerts that I went to.
Yeah.
Because it was the best. It's been the best part of my life.
Right.
And you know, so I feel like, you know, it's my responsibility now, whether it's playing a town fair or a state fair uh-huh. or anything like that. You know, it's my responsibility to put on the best show I can possibly put on and make sure that the music is represented how I remember it, as opposed to, you know, like, you know, I know a lot of people like with Hairbangers Ball, like, you know, they think it's like almost kind of like a costume party, like kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Well, not when we're on that fucking stage, motherfucker. We love rock and roll music.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, it's just, you gotta do it real, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, you hear all the time, it's like rock and roll is dead or whatever. And when you're talking about the passing of the torch, I love rock music. And I outside of like Airborne is a band that I think kicks ass.
I love Airborne. I saw them back in September. It was an awesome concert.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Awesome. But like there aren't, like you said, there aren't a lot of names that come to mind. So I think if anything, the end of one era can be the start of a new one. I think you guys can find a whole new, like, fan base almost. I mean, obviously, it's all fans of rock and roll, but, like, people that miss it, you know what I mean? Because you do. Yeah. I think you bring that feel when you guys take the stage. Yeah. So.
That's certainly the hope.
Yeah. So I wanted to get your opinion on Steel Panther. Because a lot of people, they've gotten actually some beef. I don't know if it's legit or not, but I've seen like the beef with like Nikki Sixx and all that. A lot of people will say, oh, they're satire. It's not. But like, they're so fucking talented too. What's your Steel Panther opinion?
Quite honestly, in terms of the whole like 80s tribute thing, I think they're the best of the best. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. They're the ones that are going on international tours. They started exactly like Hairbangers did, and the same time period too. Like around like early 2000s, and yeah, I mean they're all amazing musicians, so you can't take that away from them. I mean, I would say honestly, like pound for pound right now, I would say that Michael Starr is the best front man in rock music. I mean, he's in his 50s. He still looks better than most guys in their 20s. He sings great. Satchel is a brilliant guitar player. And it's hilarious as he is, you can tell that he's a musical genius too. Like, I mean, as funny as the songs are, I mean, a lot of people will say, you know, that they're like diehard like 80s hair metal fans will be like, oh, I wish they took themselves a little bit more seriously. But you know, like, what are you really supposed to do? Like, I don't know. I'm just happy that they've got their thing. They're huge. The only difficult thing I would say from my standpoint is, you know, I don't know if you've seen like in the past couple of years, like Hairbanger's Ball has released a couple like original songs here and there and
Yeah,
stuff.
I was gonna get to
And
that, yeah.
of course, like the Steel Panther comparison like always comes up. You know, because it's a difficult thing because it's like they took it to such an extreme
Yeah,
that
that's.
now every band that has like their origin story, like started as a cover band, it's like people just automatically assume you're the same thing. And the go-to line that I go with Hairbanger's Ball, because like we're not really there's elements of humor in our show, but we're not really like a comedy act. So the line that I always drop is, well, if you're laughing at a Hairbanger's Ball show, you're probably not laughing with us, you're probably laughing at us. At least with Steel Panther, you're laughing with them. But yeah, I mean, they're great. I'm not like I'm not like I am with Kiss and Aerosmith and Motley Crue, where I like collect every album and I know every single note on the albums, but I have nothing but tremendous respect for Steel Panther as musicians, as a comedic act, like as where they are in the state of their lives and doing it like they're in their 20s. Like, I think they're awesome.
Yeah,
And I know a
definitely.
lot of people think I shouldn't think they're awesome, but I think they're awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of times people will try to like create a narrative that isn't there. Like they'd be like, oh, Hairbanger's Ball versus Steel Panther. It's like, no, man, it's all just this badass music. And like, I think we could bond over
The way
that.
I look at it is we both have like a Van Halen, like Van Halen started as a cover band. The Rolling Stones, same thing. A lot of these bands, what we've got in common with Steel Panther is we're a completely DIY band. Like Satchel books all the flights for Steel Panther. With Hairbangers, it's Jennifer, aka Polly Pants. She runs, you know, like the whole show. It's her thing. So it's a DIY band. We play party music. Yeah, I'm probably really jealous of Steel Panther's bank account at the end of the day, but yeah. So they're screwing us.
Like you touched on it for like very briefly. You guys have released some original music. The most original song being I Want to Bang. Something, that's everyone can relate. I
Everyone can
saw
relate to that. I mean, that's what makes the world go round, like.
And then back in around the holiday season, you released Merry Christmas, Everybody. And then there's Play
Thank you for
Dangerous, which
noticing.
was what's
Thank you for
that?
noticing.
Yeah,
Listen, thank
no.
you for noticing. Not too many people did.
Absolutely no. I'm an avid follower. I am. I messaged you originally to try to get this interview, and I said I'm a fan. Like that was genuine. Like I follow you guys on like Instagram, Facebook, all that. So I'm definitely a fan. Do you have any original project? And I know you've done solo projects, so we'll get to that next, but any original project from the band that you're particularly a fan of? Like, was there one that you were like, this is the anthem that's like, this is going to be our breakout, you know?
They all have like different things for me personally.
Okay.
Obviously, I really like All Aboard the Bang Train was really fun, just because that was the first one and the response to that one was really good. And I would say pound for pound, out of all of the songs, that one's definitely the one that's received the best live.
Okay.
My personal favorite musically is probably Play Dangerous,
Okay.
just because I like that. It's kind of got like almost like a Desmond Childy kind of vibe. At least that's the perspective that I was taking with the songwriting on that one.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I'll be honest, I was like just really like exercising the muscle of like, oh man, I mean, like, I know it's a pipe dream, but wouldn't it be cool if Hairbanger's Ball could like get a song in Stranger Things or something like that?
That'd
I'm
be
always
awesome.
looking for some. I got into music from like movies and TV and stuff. Like, I discovered music from Aerosmith's "Dude Looks Like a Lady" was in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay.
So before I die, I just want to get like one song in like a decent movie or like a TV show or
Yeah.
something. That was my angle with Play Dangerous. It didn't work, but maybe it will in years to come. Who knows? We'll see. And then "I Wanna Bang" was a blast because that song's mostly like inspired by like 80s Kiss.
Yeah.
Specifically the song "Ugh, All Night." I'm always "I Wanna Bang." The thing that I'm always looking for with music is it's so hard to monetize music these days with,
Yeah.
streaming pays fractions of pennies. Nobody buys physical music anymore unless it's like a niche market
Right.
kind of a thing. And the one thing that has stuck around in 22 years of Hairbanger's Ball is this stupid t-shirt that says "I Wanna Bang" on it. It doesn't even have the logo of the band on it or anything. It's an Arial font. It's just white letters.
Yeah.
It's like "I Wanna Bang," and they sell like hotcakes. They sell like complete hotcakes. So I was like, all right, well, I think the t-shirt needs a theme song now. And then
Yeah.
my personal enjoyment for the song is, obviously I wrote the song, so I'm a fan of the song. But I in the music video, I got to do like my lifelong dream of being in a prosthetic fat suit, like the Warrant Big Talk video and the David Lee Roth Going Crazy video.
Right.
So I finally got to do that. So I knocked off that bucket list item, and they all have different things for me. It's tough with a cover band because you're competing against the greatest songs of all time. So
That's fair.
and people are always like, "Oh, you guys got to do an album." But it's like we kind of got to put out songs at the pace that the public wants the songs. And sometimes you can get the vibe when you're playing them on stage that, some rooms love them.
Yeah.
Like some places absolutely love them. Some of them, some of the original songs will go over just as well as some of like the obscure songs we play in a night. But I wish we could do more of them, but we got to go with the flow of traffic. So if you guys want more Hairbangers Ball songs, we'll write them. But you got to let us know. That's the main thing.
Well, from this fan's perspective, I would not mind some more. I like what you guys put out, so
What's your favorite of the three original ones?
the three original ones. I
Yeah,
mean, like you said, All Aboard the Bang Train, it's just a lot of fun. I don't know,
that one's still getting radio play. Every now and then, Rock 95.5 will put it on and give Hairbanger's Ball some love, and
that's
yeah,
awesome. Yeah,
pretty cool.
mostly, admittedly, I'm mostly on the Bluetooth when I'm on the car, when I'm in the car. So, haven't really listened to the radio that much these days, but that's so awesome, though, man. That's so cool. I love that.
It's pretty cool.
So, Hairbanger's Ball has done originals. You have also done some solo work, some originals as well. You released a lot of singles last year. I mean, I feel like there's such a stretch because there's some of them that have kind of I don't know the vibe I'm looking for, the right word I'm looking for, but there's like Revenge is a Long Game, and then you have a song called Dick, you know? It's just like I love the stretch right there. How's the solo work going? Is there any?
It's always in the back of my mind. It's always something I'm like working on, even when I'm just doing nothing.
Yeah.
I love performing. I love performing, especially I'm very grateful that, you know, my job is singing songs from all of my favorite bands.
Right.
But at the end of the day, my true favorite thing to do is write and record music.
Okay.
That's like I would say like my mission in life, whether it's like with a band or by myself. And unfortunately, it's like I find I just end up working by myself a lot because I tend to I hate to say it, but I burn out relationships with people.
Yeah.
If I force them to go at my pace, where it's like the only non-destructive thing that I like to do is play music.
Okay.
So that's just like what I've got to do to keep myself active and keep the screaming thoughts away, I guess, or something. But so that was a little experiment in I've put out an album before, I've put out an EP before.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, like, a lot of times I feel like you put out like a full body of work, and then people only listen to like one or two songs. But sometimes your favorite songs that you put out are the songs that are like deeper in the album and stuff. So,
right.
And with the current trend of bands like releasing singles and stuff, and there's a total like technology nerd explanation as to why people are releasing individual songs at a time right now. It all has to do with like the Spotify algorithm and the TikTok algorithm and all that stuff that I have to think about that I was never thinking about when I was growing up and deciding I wanted to play music for a living. But so I tried it with the releasing one song a month, and you know, mm-hmm. it was doing great in the beginning, and then by the end of it, I could kind of feel like, I think it's time for me to stop a little bit right now. And like Jerry Seinfeld said this, you've got to give people an opportunity to miss you a little.
Okay.
You know,
I like that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's been, I think the last song I released was in December.
Down on My Soul?
And my plan is, starting in October, I'm going to play 5 or 6, hopefully 6, solo shows in October and November.
Okay.
And then that first batch of songs is dead until somebody calls and requests a performance.
Okay.
Somewhere, and then we can talk. Or I write a new batch of songs that I want to go out and promote. Because at the end of the day, from the standpoint that I am, I mean, I've got a great job performing with Hairbanger's Ball,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't done what I want to do as a writer yet.
Okay.
And I don't want to go out and play the same group of songs, you know, for years like I have with previous projects. I want to get to work on some new songs, and then my goal is in the next year do the same exact thing, put out another physical product, and then go out the next fall and play the new batch of songs with maybe, hopefully, if people liked some of the old songs, you know, we'll see. I don't really know where it's going to go, but with my solo music, it's the writing and the recording that is the, because I haven't gotten that out of my system yet.
Yeah.
So as soon as I do those solo shows, it's back. I'm already working on new music right now.
Uh-huh.
Every day, but hopefully by January, I'm hoping to put out some new music, and then January 2024, and then hopefully October 2024, I'll start playing shows for the second batch of songs.
Yeah.
And then hopefully I'll just keep repeating that cycle until I die in some way, shape, or form.
Whatever works, man. You know, like, if that's you got a plan, and that's awesome that, like, you know what you're, I don't know. I think that's, not everyone can say that they, like, have this plan, but you have this vision, and that's really awesome, I think.
Now, having said all of that, I understand that, I read this book last summer called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield, and it's a book for, like, creatives that, you know, just to, I don't know, I guess, like, help you cope with the struggle of being an artist or something like that. I hate using the term artist, but anyways, like, in that book, he says it'll always take you two times as long as you think it's going to, and it will always cost you two times as much as you think it's going to. So I'm setting the goal of playing the second batch of shows in 2024.
Yeah.
Realizing that it will probably be 2025. But
hope for the best, expect the worst. Yeah, that type of.
Yeah. I'm inspired by bands like Kiss, where, like, in 1974, Kiss put out two full albums.
Okay.
And then they did it again in 75. Like, they were always putting out a lot of music. They also had two primary songwriters in that band, though. So I need a Gene Simmons over here pretty quick.
So I know obviously you've played hundreds of shows, but as far as concerts you've attended, best concert you've ever been to?
Oh man, that's tough.
You can give me a top three, I guess, if you want.
I mean, I really think at the end of the day, it's my first Kiss concert.
Okay.
May 11th, 2001.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Kiss Farewell Tour. Actually, it might have been 2000. Ironically, I think it was the same date as the very first Hairbangers Ball show.
Okay.
Very weird how that works. But yeah, Kiss at the Allstate Arena. It was Kiss, Ted Nugent, and Skid Row.
Ah.
You know, I was like 14 years old. It blew my mind.
Okay.
And then Aerosmith in Vegas was really good. Aerosmith on the Just Push Play tour in 2001 was really good. It's all either Kiss or Aerosmith for me.
I got you. Oh yeah. So if those are your two favorites, man, from earlier, like, that's, this really is a rough time for you. Like,
yeah. I will say though, Def Leppard at the UIC Pavilion in like the early 2000s. I think it was 2002 or 2003. That was a really good one too.
Yeah. Yeah, first concert I ever went to was Aerosmith. It's 2007. Joan Jett was opening up. So technically, Joan Jett was the first act I ever saw. But
I was at that show.
Yeah, it was my cousin.
Did that show get canceled at first, too?
I'm not sure. I was.
I think it got canceled and rescheduled.
Okay. I'm honestly not 100%. I just remember my cousin, who is also in a band, he plays bass for a metal band called Bong Ripper. Among other things, but he, like, I always, when I would go over to his house, like, he had the huge CD collection. It was like everything from like Slipknot, Meshuggah, and then, you know, the more classic rock, like the Ted Nugents and the Led Zeppelins and all that. So I would admire his CD collection. So he took me to my first concert. He was going to be my concert buddy. But yeah, so Aerosmith, even back then, like, as I wasn't like a kid, but I was definitely younger, I could appreciate how badass of a show it was and what I was witnessing. You know what I mean? They're just, they're awesome. So, I got notification that I got 7 minutes left with you. So I kind of wanted to use, that time to do a little this or that type of game. Not, you know, just like, you know, a little rapid fire. So you guys are from the Chicagoland area. So, started off with Chicago pizza or Chicago dog?
For me, I had an amazing deep dish last night, so I'm gonna say Chicago pizza.
So some recency bias.
Say, Chicago tavern style pizza is very underrated, though. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
There is more than the deep dish here, but the deep dish is exquisite as right. well.
People say that deep dish is more for the tourists, but it's still it is delicious. Like, I don't...
Delicious.
Tourists have to try it, yeah, but, like, that doesn't mean it's not, like, great, you know? So, I get that. I definitely pizza over dogs. Indoor venues versus outdoor venues.
It depends on the context. I would say the best of the best is doing it a great show outdoors, but 99 times out of 100, an indoor venue is going to be better because it's a more controlled environment.
Okay.
I think the sound is typically better too.
Okay.
So 99 times out of 100, except for that special moment, I'm going with indoors.
Gotcha. Domestic beer, craft beer.
You know, I'm not much of a beer drinker, and I typically just drink Coors Light.
Okay.
When I drink, so I hate to say it, but I'm going domestic on this one.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. I'm a fan myself. My buddy told me craft beer kind of tastes like domestic beer that forgot to put on deodorant, and so I mean, if it's there, I'm gonna drink it. Don't get me wrong, but like, I would definitely prefer, like you said, Coors Light. That's actually my go-to. So this one, I think I might know the answer, but I'm not sure. Just want to be sure, I guess. Acoustic versus electric.
Easily electric for me every time.
That's what I thought.
That's for me personally. I really wish I was a better acoustic player, and that's something that I want to work on over my life. But yeah, I like... You know, I can rip on guitar, and I can rip up my vocal cords, but doing them both at the same time is really difficult for me for whatever reason, so.
Okay.
Every band I'm in always has two guitar players for a reason.
Would you rather play a theater that's half full or a bar that's maximum capacity?
Bar that's maximum capacity every time.
Okay. Because it's all about the crowd.
Yeah, there's just so much more energy in a full room.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. Let's do... I think I might know the answer to this one too. But again, it's just one that I'm throwing out. David Lee Roth, Sammy Hagar.
10 years ago, I would have said David Lee Roth.
Oh. It's
but
changed.
Now I think I'm going with Sammy. I think, like, just look. Oh, God, I hate to say that, too. and I hate that the internet is forever, and I'll never be able to erase that I said this, but...
the internet is forever.
You know, the older I get, the more I have respect for somebody who is still writing and releasing music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's still going out on stage and kicking ass and stuff. And Dave is doing stuff, too, but, you know, like... Dave's adaptation of what he does is entertaining still, but it's wacky and it's weird and stuff. Whereas like Sammy, you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a rock show. He's going to go there. He's going to play all his great songs. He's going to rock. So now if you're saying specifically related to Van Halen, we might have a different argument, but pound for pound, one or the other. I hate to say it, but I think I'm going with Sammy in 2023.
Okay.
It's not that I hate to say it. I love Sammy, but
well, yeah.
I just know that there's going to be people who will be upset.
No, I that's totally fair. You know, time can change a lot of things. So, yeah, if like you said, if it was 10 years ago, maybe it was David Lee Roth, but people change. All right, so a little over 2 minutes. Again, Brian, thank you so much for doing this.
Absolutely, man. It's been a lot of fun.
It was super cool getting a little behind the curtain type of peek. Was there anything you wanted to plug?
When is this coming out?
This will be probably this Friday. Sorry.
Okay, well, this Friday, come see us tonight at Impact People Room in Libertyville. Tomorrow, come see us at Mayfest in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. CD and me, we're going to be there in Frankfort, Illinois on June 1st. Just go to hairbangersball.com and check out the show dates. Go to the Hairbangers Ball Facebook page. Follow us if you haven't already. And we'll be sure to annoy the hell out of you and let you know when we're coming to your town. And then go to
Awesome.
briandurban.com and listen to some of my music and help an aging rocker feel relevant.
And then you're also on Spotify, right? All your
Yeah,
stuff's on
Spotify,
Spotify?
Apple Music, all over the place with that. At anywhere, find Hairbangers Ball and Brian Durbin on YouTube and subscribe to both the channels.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Brian, thank you so much. I can't wait to see you guys over summer. I'm sure I'll be at a couple shows. So,
Awesome. Yeah. What area are you in?
I'm in Tinley, so I might go to that Frankfurt one because that's
Awesome, man.
yeah. Yeah.
Let me know if you're coming out.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Cool, man. Thank you.
All
Take
right.
care, bro.
You too. All right, that was Brian Durbin, singer, songwriter, guitarist, and like I said, just an all-around badass dude. And I think that interview proved it. Really cool guy. I get a little nervous before these interviews because before I start, it's just me messaging them, whether it's Instagram, email, even Facebook. Sometimes I was able to hit up Brian over Facebook. But like, it's like reading a book and then seeing the movie. And then sometimes the movie's not what you expected. This movie was better than the book. He's just an awesome dude, and you could tell he fucking loves what he does. He's all about the music. He's passionate, and it's real cool that rockers like that are still out there and still kicking ass on the front lines. So thank you, Brian, for doing this interview. Thank all of you for checking out this interview. I'm going to be back in a second to wrap this thing up burrito style. And that'll be episode 66. Put it in the fucking books, baby. All right. Yeah, we're going to. Yeah, I'm going to take a break right now. All All right, everybody. And we're back to wrap up episode 66. What a ride it's been. Feel like it's been forever since I was singing Route 66 for you. I'm not going to do it again, don't worry. But yeah, here we are, finishing the episode. Great interview from Brian Durbin. Thank you again so much. That was awesome. That was really cool. And like I said, check out the dates for Hairbangers Ball. If they're anywhere near you, do yourself a favor and go see them. It is such a fun show. It's such a good time. Just a badass experience. So there's that. I'm going to wrap up with the NHL draft lottery and the Blackhawks getting the number one pick. Welcome to Chicago, Connor Bedard. So excited for that. Now, it's already getting backlash because going into the draft night, or the draft lottery night, I should say, the Hawks had the third best odds to get the number one pick. It went Anaheim Ducks at 18.5%, Columbus Blue Jackets at 13.5%, Chicago Blackhawks at 11.5%, San Jose Sharks at 9.5%, Canadiens at 8.5%, and then it goes down and down until it gets to the Calgary Flames, who had a 0.5% chance to get that first pick. Now, they went from 16 to 1. They worked down, or I guess up, you would say, whatever you call it. It was a countdown. So I guess down. Yeah. And everything was going in order. Calgary Flames got that last pick, and then Predators, and so on and so on. So it gets to the top three picks, and so far everything has gone in order. There's a star next to the Blackhawks' name. That threw some people off. People were like, what does that mean? Is that a screw up? Is that a glitch? And then they cut to commercial. And this is where it gets fishy for some people, probably Blue Jackets fans. Cuts to commercial, it comes back, and they've already announced that the Blue Jackets are getting the third pick overall, not the second. It comes back and it's like, and now it's down to the Blackhawks and the Ducks. They're saying like the Ducks have never had a first round pick and the Hawks haven't had one since 2007. And it's the Blue Jackets has just established that they're getting the third pick. And Blue Jackets fans were pissed. Blue Jackets fans were like, what the fuck? Because people had watch parties, stuff like that. Like, you got videos of Blue Jackets fans and people at bars, like thousands of people watching this draft. Because, you know, the second best odds to get Connor Bedard. It was basically the Bedard sweepstakes. Although Francelli is going to be good too, but he's not going to the Blue Jackets because he's probably going second to the Ducks. So, people were pissed. People have posted their conspiracy theories, their tinfoil hat theories that the draft is rigged. To be honest, even if it is rigged, I get it. Connor Bedard is getting hype like Connor McDavid, like Sidney Crosby. Here's some quotes about Connor Bedard. I saw Sidney Crosby, and I didn't think I'd ever see a junior player that would be as dominant as that. And then I saw Connor McDavid, but here comes Connor Bedard. So that's high fucking praise, because Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid are two of the best players in the NHL right now. Maybe not, Sidney Crosby's at the tail end of his career, but he's an all-time great. Another quote is, he's changing the angle of his shot all the time. A lot of kids try to shoot like Bedard, but nobody can whip it the way that he does. Love that. Love the whip it. I love that. And then he's like a tank. He's solid. Rolls off hits and can counter hit people. He's like a running back in the NFL. So there's some high praise for this dude. Some very high praise. He's a franchise changer. And the Hawks have a lot of rebuilding to do. But they also have a lot of time as well. They have a lot of time to do this. They have a lot of picks coming up in the draft for the next few seasons. Like, they're poised for a rebuild. And the best way to start it is with a generational talent like Connor Bedard. The Hawks have 14 picks in the first and second rounds over the next three drafts. 14 picks over the first two rounds. That's huge. Huge. It's crazy. So, Blackhawks got the number one pick. I'm very excited for Connor Bedard to come to Chicago. I'm hoping he likes it here. And again, if it was rigged, I get it. Like, Columbus has Johnny Gaudreau, and they have some talent, but, like, you know, no one wants to see generational talent in Columbus. Same with Anaheim. Anaheim has some good players, too. They got Zegras. That would be fun. Bedard and Zegras. But he's coming to Chicago, baby, and it is what it is. So quit your bitching. They're not redoing the draft. It's not happening. Unless if some actual proof comes out, I doubt they're gonna scratch anything. So just roll with it. Anaheim, be happy with Fantelli. Columbus, be happy with whatever you get. You know, top three isn't bad. Number three isn't bad. So there's that. And I can say that easily because I'm a Blackhawks fan and they have the number one pick. If we had the three pick, I'd probably be a little more upset about it. But it is what it is, baby. It is what it is. The Hawks got the number three pick. We are set. This is the best possible start for a rebuild you could ask for. The best possible start for a rebuild. So very happy about that. Go Blackhawks. And that's all I got to say about that draft lottery. It's a fun time. It's a fun time to be a Blackhawks fan. It's exciting, you know, especially because Chicago sports is in such a dump right now. But I mean, the Bears are on an upward trajectory. Now the Hawks are on an upward trajectory. That's a hard word for me to say. It's okay. I'm getting through it. There are my dogs ruining my podcast. Once again, they're outside. I have the windows open, so that's on me. It's just really nice out. It's springtime, baby. What are you going to do? What else? RIP to Oak Forest Bowl. I received some news that fucking burnt down. I thought at first, I'm like, oh, they're just closing it. Like, you know, it's whatever. It's a good bar. The outside area is dope. Sand volleyball courts, bean bags, bonfires, lots of picnic tables, great bar, TVs. Like, it's a great area. And then I hear about it at work and I don't quite believe it. Like, whatever. Like, I thought it was some kind of joke. I don't know why. I didn't look into it. I paid it no mind. Probably because I was at work and I was doing my job and I'm efficient as fuck. But then I'm going through the book of faces, the Facebook, if you will, And I just see pictures of like, it's like, we are saddened to hear that, you know, whatever, this is all that's left of Oak Forest. And it's like the sign outside that was on the street side. And it's just ash. The whole thing's fucking burnt down. And it's crazy. I don't know what happened. I haven't looked into it, but I know it's gone. Oak Forest Bowl is gone. Lots of good times there. The past few summers, went to go see my buddies play their sand volleyball games in their league. It's just it was a fun place to be, and it will be missed by a lot of people, including myself. I know I'm far, far, far from the only one. So RIP Oak Forest Bowl. There that is. So, all right, that'll do it for episode 66. I hope you got your kicks on episode 66, because I sure did. Thanks to Brian Durbin, and thanks to, you know, whatever else I had to talk about. A little bit of Aerosmith, a little bit of NHL. So there's that. All right. I will sign off right now. I will see you later. There's another episode coming shortly. Don't you worry. I know I took that long break. I was just in a spot where I wasn't inspired or motivated or whatever to make these podcasts, but I'm back. So another episode is coming shortly. Don't you worry. Soon enough, we're going to be at episode 69. That's going to be awesome. I'm sure I'm going to have Furlong on for that. I have to, right? Like, episode 69 with Furlong, it just makes sense. It just makes sense. It just checks out, you know? All right. Thank you so much for listening. If you did listen, if you didn't listen, what are you doing with your life? This is the best podcast on Spotify right now, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And yeah, I appreciate all of you, all of you. The ones in Germany, obviously the ones here, wherever you are. Thank you. Thank you so much. Really, I appreciate it. So, and thank you again, Brian Durbin. Check out Hairbangers Ball. Can't stress enough how fucking awesome of a show that is. I'm out of here. Y'all have a great weekend. Enjoy the weather. It is beautiful outside this weekend. I might catch some rays. I might go do some nude tanning. And hopefully the cops don't get called on me. But it is what it is if that happens. I'm just going to say, hey, man, America. You know what? Fuck it. I'll throw on a banana hammock. That way no one can call the cops. Avoid controversy. You know, any confrontation. Banana hammock saves all. That's a wise quote. You can put that on my tombstone. All right, I'm out of here. Thank you all for listening for the fucking fourth time. I got to stop saying that and just end the episode. So that's what I'm going to do right now.